People there right now, this is Jonathan with the More Than Just an Interview podcast coming to you live right now from the studios of 99.7 The Heat, Miami. The More Than Just an Interview podcast is special, and here is why. We wanted to create a platform where we could speak about trending topics in society that are impacting not only music culture, but Generation Z culture, but do it in a very unbiased way. Speak freely, but also get the viewpoints from other artists as well. There are thousands of podcasts. Very few actually speak the language of the people. But on the More Than Just an Interview podcast, that's what we do here. So everything from pop culture to music culture to real life topics we discuss right here. Today's topic we're talking about is violence killing the future of hip hop. And this topic is so important because we just had the trial of Young Dolph, the Memphis icon hip hop star that was gunned down. And the guy, one of the people that killed him, that was convicted of killing him, said that he was paid by Yo Gotti's brother, allegedly. He was promised $50,000. Whether or not that's true or not, the problem still exists, is that every year someone is dying in hip hop. And not only someone, but extreme talents in music that's taken away from the core value. So we're going to talk about that today. My co-host today is a brother that I love from my heart, representing Detroit and Maryland as well, B. Moore. He's a recording artist, a philanthropist, entrepreneur, and humanitarian rolled into one. And just a super cool human being. Our brother Reminis. Reminis, what's good, King?
What up, Doug King, man? Thanks for having me today.
No doubt about it, man. Thank you for being one of the guest hosts with me. For sure. All right. So we're going to jump right into it. Is violence killing the future of hip hop? This is my take. I'm going to speak for 60 seconds and I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give it over to Reminis. To me, violence is killing hip hop because if you think about all the people who have died since 2019 when Nip died, like Nipsey Hussle dying on the West Coast, like that took a, we haven't recovered from that. Number one, that took a lot of air out of the balloon. And even though the West Coast is still doing what it's doing, it's never been the same and will never be the same. Nipsey Hussle was a superstar right before us. And it was just so eerily tragic that happened. That's number one. Number two, when you think about everybody else that has passed, XXX, you know, Nipsey Hussle, Mo3, you think about PNB Rock, who's West Coast, died, you know, at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. When you think about all these people who have died, you think about the impact behind the families left behind, Young Dolph dying, you think about all of these people, and most importantly, their music, the future music they could have made that was going to change the world. Think about the music Nipsey Hussle will be making right now. Think about the music that all these guys will be making. To me, I feel violence is killing hip hop, killing the future of hip hop, because creating superstar is not easy. And they come along very, very infrequently. Every person I just named had superstar potential and they're gone. You can't just pop them up. And hip hop has a real problem with violence. And that's why I feel like it's even suffering in the creative aspect. That's why we haven't had many number ones or many number one albums or singles because of that. And we have a cultural problem because it is black people killing black people over money, jewelry, status, clout, and gang relations. And it's the highest form of black on black crime I've ever seen. So that's my first thought, but I'm going to get into the Young Dolph thing in a minute. Reminis, what's your thoughts on that, brother?
Man, you said it best, honestly. And I agree with you. Unfortunately, violence is killing hip hop. And from my perception, I grew up, you know, in the times where people would rather throw hands or fight rather than, you know, pull a gun or pull a nine, you know. And unfortunately, it's going more towards people is willing to shoot first, you know, before solving altercations or just fighting, you know. And that's been trickling over into just the whole culture in general to me, especially hip hop. I mean, nowadays you see more music videos with, you know, everybody strapped up with the nines, talking about, you know, getting money. And, you know, all that's cool, having fun. But, you know, I remember back in the days, you know, hip hop, you know, talking about chains, radios, just more so having fun. You know, it's almost a 360 shift. And the fact that it's so involved in hip hop is trickling out to the world around us. You know, a lot of people, well, I can only speak for me and the people that I know. In my perception, a lot of people that dream to become artists, you know, witnessing that growing up, all this violence, all the killings that you was mentioning happening in hip hop. I couldn't imagine, you know, wanting to chase my dream of becoming an artist with the constant fear of knowing if I go to my community bakery, I might catch a bullet or something of that nature just to chase a dream of something that, you know, is dear to you and dear to me. You know, it's a whole perspective that dominoes and a negative effect when it comes to violence in the hip hop world. In my perception, bro. So we lost some great ones, like you said, Nipsey, the Marathon Life, Young Dolph. Come on, Get Away. Come on, now, the Cudi when he was featured on that in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost so many greats to violence, unfortunately. You know what I mean? So that's my input on it.
Well, just to piggyback off that a little bit more, to me, I just remember seeing Boosie and T.I. pulling up to their son's video shoot, and they were saying, "What's up with all the guns? You know, why do you have all these guns up here? You know, what's the issue with that? You know, why are y'all trying to perpetrate a lifestyle you don't really do?" And I think that's the initial thing, because you can't have a video. Think about what's on a video set right now. Most Generation Z artists, bunch of half naked girls. They go and get some fancy cars, or they show that they're in the trap in the hood, and then a gun. And to me, what you see from the environment is what becomes art. Like back in the day, if you think about this, reminisce. You think about what was in an N.W.A. video, what was in an Ice-T video, what was in an LL Cool J video, what was in even a Tupac video. Early on, what was in a DMX video? What was in a Rakim video? You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even though Snoop in 1992, when Dre dropped the Chronic, you know, the reason why that was so influential was because of all of the elements represented a culture, the lowriders, the Seagram's gin, you know what I'm saying? The Tangeray, the G-Funk sound. But that was what music still dominated, because if the music wasn't good, it wouldn't make sense. Now, the violence has overtaken the music. And I think, not to throw anybody under the bus, but I think, what's the guy's name? Tekashi 6ix9ine. I feel like he breathed new life into the whole fake it till you make it thing. If that makes sense to you?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. The unfortunate fake it till you make it motto. That's a whole nother topic, my friend.
No, because you remember when 50 said, "I am not gang gang," when he was talking about, all the charges and stuff, when they did that song, and even when your boy Casanova, you know, he went to prison due to violence. Part of, you know, he was convicted of that. So to me, if we keep killing off the creatives, you know, they say if you kill young leaders, you can stifle a generation. So what would have happened if Martin would have lived? You feel what I'm saying? Like, but you kill him, and then how many more Martin Luther Kings or Malcolm X's have generated from that? That's what I'm saying. So to me, when I look at everybody who's died, reminisce, you know, and I definitely want to get your viewpoint on this, how has it impacted just the music you fit? Like the quality of the music?
Honestly, in my opinion, I've seen some pros and definitely cons to the music from all these great deaths. Definitely easy part is to touch on the cons, but I want to touch on some of the pros.
Okay.
From these unfortunate events, you know, I touched a little bit on the youth and the younger generations. Like you said, some people that followed the movement or the Marathon Life per se, you know, from the unfortunate passings of these great moguls, these great artists, male and female, all alike. certain individuals growing up in this generation that started to push more positive music. You know what I mean? Especially since Nipsey, their own style, they've been encouraged to not go to labels, stay independent, do it their own way. So, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, there's pros to it, but I call them seeds. You know, Nipsey planted a lot of seeds. Young Dolph planted a lot of seeds, you know, that the younger generation in the world can come by and water and nurture. And I'm glad that there's people in the world that has done that to follow the trend of positive music, conscious music that's still good and go crazy. Don't get me wrong, but it's a message in it outside of, you know, guns, drugs, money, you know, the usual message, you feel me? So that's definitely in the pros. You know, I'm definitely one of them, so I can speak on it. You know, it was just more motivation for me to continue the positivity because it's too much negativity in the world, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I rock with you 100% on that. I think that when I look at the PNB Rock situation, when it was a father and son that killed PNB Rock, you know, I think the father drove the getaway car, and you know, he wouldn't take off his jewelry. They robbed him. Then it was the kid that was like 15, 16 years old that killed Pop Smoke. We forgot about Pop Smoke.
Oh, we forget.
Yeah, and remember Pop Smoke got killed. He was in an Airbnb in Beverly Hills, and they killed him. But when you think about it all, he didn't check in, so they had these guys that were young just kill him. Even with Young Dolph, I mean, allegedly he got killed, and the guys only got $800. Like, that's crazy. And no matter how this shakes out, it's never going to be the same for Yo Gotti, even if he had nothing to do with it, because that's their claim. He has a right to defend his name, which I know he will, and go to court and do that. But it's never going to be the same for him. You feel me? Like, nobody's ever going to look at Yo Gotti the same. They're going to always say, you killed Young Dolph because you didn't want him. He was competition, or he was the big guy or whatever in Memphis. And to me, reminisce, what was so striking in all of this is the fact that all of these murders are tied to nothing that is substantial. With it's all personal. Every time somebody dies, it's because somebody didn't like them, they didn't want to join something with them, let's get rid of them. And my question to Black America, or to the Black population, let me just say it like that, is Nipsey Hussle did everything right and still died, regardless if he called a guy snitching. You know, my thing is that why would someone sanction him to die, knowing that he's doing more for the neighborhoods alive than he would be dead? You feel what I'm saying, Reminisce? So it's like, what would make you want to say, go kill Reminisce because he doesn't want to give us any, we can't extort him no more? Or, you know, we don't feel like he's playing ball. Remember, before Nipsey died, he was working with the governor of LA to bring a peace treaty with the gangs. And he and Snoop were working on that. Google what was Nipsey Hussle working on before he died. So I think the creativity is shot, bro. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Reminisce? I think when you kill as many people as that, I mean, we've had over 15 people to die. So you forget about Draco the Ruler from LA. He died. Remember, he got stabbed at the concert.
Right.
He forgot about all that. Draco the Ruler, PNB Rock, Mo3, Pop Smoke, Nipsey Hussle. XXX was ahead of his time.
He was
so far ahead of his time, you know? So if you think about all these people who have died, I mean, it's like, who else is creating music at a high level right now? The Baby is blackballed. I mean, you know, he's never been the same since Rolling Loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, what, to me, there needs to be a union meeting where we have to, and that's why I was glad, Reminisce, that J. Cole didn't get involved in the beef. He backed out. I always thought that was a brilliant, that took more strength than going back and forth.
Yeah, definitely. It's easy to roll with the punches, you know what I mean? But to step outside and look at the whole picture, you know, that's a whole different mindset and perception, you know what I mean?
How do you feel he handled that?
You know, I feel like, I think rap beef is stupid. Honestly, you know, that's my whole perception. You know, so I got nothing but respect for, you know, he did what he did. He stepped out, you know what I mean? Everybody got their own perception of how they look at it. But for him to do that, step aside, and, you know, not create more tension or whatever, you know, even though rap beef is a part of the industry, you know, I respect that.
I think that Reminisce, I believe that right now, just and give me your viewpoint right now. What's your viewpoint on the quality? Name some of the quality performing artists in hip-hop that
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But DC politicians want to change that with the Durbin Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
What you feel right now creating quality bodies of work?
Quality bodies of work. Well, I'm going to step a little bit.
Put yourself in there too.
I'm going to step a little bit outside of the box. So, you know, some of the artists that I listen to, not necessarily hip hop, I think Sam might destroy his last name. My apologies in advance, but Sam Okupoku or something like that. But he definitely been coming with some great music. Man, my bad if I destroyed his last name. That's sure I did. But he got some great music. You know, I've been rocking with Masego for a while. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
What's a couple of other ones? So, you know, it's definitely some good performers still out here. They just not in the main limelight, if that makes sense, you know.
But just name a couple of artists' music you feel right now that are creating, you know, bodies of work that, you know, that are high level, like whether it be Drake, J. Cole, just kind of like name. And it could be underground people. They don't have to be super famous. Just including yourself, like, name some people who you feel are preserving hip-hop.
Okay, definitely. Me, of course, you know, I had to do that plug, shameless plug. Like I said, some definitely people, more people outside of those ones. Well, you said hip-hop. So when it comes to hip-hop, let's see, who doing their thing right now? Ice Spice still doing her thing. I think she's still doing her thing for sure. I still rock with Cash Kid, of course. Big Sean was pretty dope with his last little drop. You know, that's consistent. I'm trying to think about a couple underground artists going in the mainstream. You know, Vicious J doing his thing. I see Frank O'Neill, King KO. So, man, that's a couple. I got a whole list. I could probably name all. Like I said, I stay like in the underground music or independent artist music and hip hop. More so, you know, Kendrick doing this thing with Not Like Us, of course. You know, he won a Super Bowl bill, you know what? You know, all that good stuff, which is about. Yeah, man.
Well, I feel like, number one, you are, and just to talk about you for a minute, you know, obviously you just released the digitally remastered version of What Can I Say right now, which is already doing amazing things. That record really, truly, like, says so much about your artistry, and you are a real lyricist from that perspective. So I just want to give you kudos on that by itself. All right. So I want to give you just kudos on that, just what you're doing with it alone, right, as far as with that music. But I think people like Devin Mill, I think people like J. Cole. When you sit down and listen to J. Cole music overall, if you sat back and just listened to it, it's a whole different kind of frequency with him. He and a whole, like, just the things he speaks on. And I think that's what's great about you too, Reminisce. Like, you have a distinctive way of things you want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, your subject matter, you know, really, like, makes people feel connected to your vision, which I like that tremendously. So I just want to make that known to you, brother. So that does that a lot, just in itself. I want to ask you this. How do you feel when Tupac died and Biggie died? How do you feel, like, how does their deaths impact hip-hop today from a violence perspective? Like, what's your thoughts? Good question.
That's a good question, you know. Man, that's a good question. There are few, you know, from my readings, research, and everything, to have the coaches versus one another's and everybody backing them. It plays into what we were speaking upon earlier, you know, just the power of violence, just in general, you know, the generations that follow these artists, these great artists, and what they're putting into the world, and what they're speaking upon, you know, those are two still major, major deaths of today that impacts us. Personally, everybody got their favorite between Biggie, Tupac, you know. I ain't gonna tell you mine, but if you know, you know. But like I said, overall, even that, it goes beyond music. It plays a part into the community and the people that follow everything with the artist or the individual and their lifestyle, I guess I would say. For those tragic events, you know, the world was devastated. It was so much anger on top of already the beef and dispute, you know, both. You know, that just amplified it, you know. And even to today, you know, I'm not that old, you know what I'm saying? I still feel young, but it's still a conversation I hear today. Which side was better, you know? Who's your favorite artist in retrospect? But the conversation is never left out about all the great things and developments in hip hop history and culture, you know, that came from them and their styles and their messages and their cadences, you know, because it was always more than just music. You know what I mean? The authentic sales was put on the tracks and everything. I'm a young buck, but that's what I take from it, you know, and I believe it'll continue to affect the world in hip hop many generations after us, you know.
Yeah, I feel, first of all, that was a beautiful way that you executed your statement on that. I feel the same. I just want to add a few things to it. I feel like right now, as it pertains to, you know, Biggie and Tupac, I feel like it was a gift and a curse, their death, because at one point it made people stop and say, wow, if these two guys can die, the biggest stars ever, you know, then what does that mean for us? How should we look at life? That was number one. That's how I looked at it. Like, if they can die, then, you know, we got to clean up our act. It's kind of like when Easy died of HIV, died of AIDS. It was like, man, Easy died. We got to tighten up. And then, of course, you know, that wore off. Everybody still having unprotected sex. So, whatever. But it was a wake-up call from the initial. I think the deaths of Biggie and Tupac kind of, because of social media, the impact grew stale. Because, you know, social media allows people to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this already. When you're on social media, you can make the illusion of everything. And then record labels saw how profitable that was. You know, magazines were profiting. I mean, Vibe magazine built their whole career off of that. And I love Quincy Jones, but Vibe released the infamous cover of Big and Puff on the front. So nobody put out a magazine saying, hey, look, we don't want any violence. I never saw it. You know what I'm saying, Remus? I never saw any magazine say, we should not be promoting this. This is violent. Someone's going to get killed. Let's have a summit. It's like everybody rode the train until it came off the tracks. And then it just became normal. I just think it normalized violence. Okay, that person's going to die. And then it's like we hear it. And then that's it. You feel me? So I think with Biggs and Pac's murder in the beginning, you know, because remember, Nas stepped away from rapping for a while.
Yeah.
Remember, that's when Jay-Z blew up. Remember, Nas' mom got sick and all that stuff like that. And then it was a situation where it was like, okay, what do we do from here? What do we do now? You know what I'm saying? It was just like that. To me, it was just, I think after a while, the effects wore off because the more we got away, the older the incident was, the more people forgot about how dangerous that was. And that was before social media. You know, that was just on some, you know, look, man, you know, look at what's going on. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It was on that kind of time. So
you know, I think overall that, you know, we forgot that we lost two of the greatest of all time. And with social media and with the record labels, they helped create another one. Like, oh, this person died, don't worry about it, we'll pop up another. Like, who took the spot of Nip? Nobody. And we forget about that. And then now you look at the game reminisce, who is really the king of hip hop, right? Or who is the big three? You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's always confusion in hip hop. There's always disunity in hip hop. There's always that. Well, if you say you the big three, that's not true. Then Metro Boomin. Just like everybody jumping on Drake. Like, it's still creative violence. Because remember, Drake's bodyguard got shot in his chest, in his driveway. So, I mean, things happen. But in conclusion, what's your final thoughts on the Young Dolph situation? How do you feel this is going to impact Memphis and, you know, and Yo Gotti? Like, tell me what's your thoughts.
I mean, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but overall, bro, honestly, like I said, it's another...
Just final thoughts. That's what I meant. Just your final thoughts.
Bet that. Overall, it's definitely another tragic young black male, successful black male, and I got to mention a black male that gave back to the community. You know, everything from, you know, him donating the turkeys, you know what I'm saying? Speaking to high school students, mentoring them. You know, those are great things, you know, that's going to be missing. I'm sure, you know, everybody that was a part of that gift and ministry and was able to be a part of that life. And, you know, those moments Young Dolph share, you know, those are going to be missed and going to leave a hole, man, the culture in general. So, you know, like I said, it's messed up, definitely. Rest in peace to him, his family, and everybody else. You know, I'm pretty sure everything is still going through it, especially with the closure of the case. So, but for upcoming artists, stay strong, keep going. You know what I mean? But we can make a change through our music. You feel me? So that's my input about that. As far as Yo Gotti is concerned, you know, we live in a world of, like I say, there's a lot of perception and speculations and word of mouth at the end of the day. I agree. I don't think his world is going to be the same after all this. A lot of things are going to be different for sure. But, you know, I wish everybody the best, whatever they go through, you know, at the end of the day.
Give out your Instagram handle and let everybody know about your music and what you got going on, bro.
All right. Absolutely. My Instagram handle is yourkeeper09. You know, that's Instagram, my bad. And the reason I went with YourKeeper09 is because at the end of the day, we are all each other's brothers and sisters' keeper. No matter race, gender, ethnicity, bro, at the end of the day, we got to take care of one another. As far as music coming out, like I said, what can I say? The remaster just dropped. Excited. Sounds so nice, I had to do it twice and make it even better. You know, a visual drop to go with it, so... Everybody definitely go check that out. A few things coming up. I'm going to be in L.A. in November.
Yes.
You know, the We Build Conference. Shout out to Radio Pushers, you know what I mean? You know, that's definitely going to be dope. And a lot of new projects and visuals dropping next year and hopefully the discussion of a tour.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, man, just salute to you for, you know, being an artist in a space that's forever changing. I just want to say, even though hip hop is one of the most dangerous jobs in it, hip hop is the most dangerous job in the entertainment world. Let me say that. Not overall world. We got troops overseas fighting, you know, putting their life on the line every day, and cops and stuff in the field. But hip hop is a dangerous sport, entertainment business, the most dangerous one. But I want to say salute to you for, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, investing in yourself, betting on yourself, and pushing forward with the evolution and the maturation of the Reminisce brand. So I want to give you your flowers right now while we're on this podcast, man. Thank you so much, you know, for being a great example for anybody that's focused and dedicated on pursuing the unthinkable. So let me just tell you that. And also, two people, he was just featured in allhiphop.com, an amazing article. Type in Reminisce, RIMANIST, space all hip hop. .com and you'll pull him up. So that's RIMANIST space all hip hop, all one word, .com. You'll pull up the article. Amazing article about my brother.
You know I got to brag on you, man.
Yes, sir. Salute. Appreciating. All right. No.
You know I got to brag on you, man. So anyway, appreciate you, man. Any final shout-outs you want to give?
Man, final shout-outs, always got to give it to G.O.D. You know what I'm saying? I'm my Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior. And definitely got to give a special shout-out to my partner in crime, my wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the Snoop Dogg say the boss lady.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, you know, radio pushes into you, you know, for putting everything together. You know, you've been a great motivation, you know, and mentor, you know, throughout my music career. And I appreciate you, King. Real chit-chat.
Nah, man, I appreciate you. And I thank you, man, for just being, you know, for just doing everything, man, for just trusting the process. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of people talk it, but very few people live it. So I just Google your artist name, man. Just looking at everything popping up. It's crazy, man. There's so much stuff pop up when you Google Reminisce. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. It's all about Brandon. You know, a little birdie taught me that.
No doubt about it, man. I just reading the article I wrote about you in 2021. Reminisce locks in on his life purpose and focus on rap supremacy. That's crazy. So just so many articles, man. All right, people, Reminisce, myself, we out of here more than just an interview. This episode is a wrap. We're 38 minutes in. Reminisce, don't forget to hit that red button right there, okay?
Yes, sir.
Peace and love. Let's get it, King. Thank you.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review. Or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.